Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Character Reveal, the show where we talk about people and reveal their characters. I am your host, as always, Brother Dom, on the internets, and you might hear thunder in the background today. I am in lovely Pittsburgh with a storm. As always, I am joined by my amazing co-host. Would you like to kick it off for yourself?
Yeah, Stephanie here. I am the Snowpeer on Tumblr and Captain Steph on Twitter.
Excellent. So as always, we have another fine guest for you all. You know, we try to bring you interesting people all the time. So to our nice guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Pam. I'm also known as Josyla _ on Twitter or Cannot Be Tamed on YouTube.
Excellent. And Pam, what is it that you do? What's your cool claim to fame?
What's my cool claim to fame? I do a little bit of everything. I used to be a blogger. I used to blog about World of Warcraft. Then that sort of turned into general game blogging. And then as it seemed video was the new thing to do, I started making videos. I do a lot of talk and reviews about retro video games. And then recently, I started a podcast with my friend Riley called Media Mavens.
Oh, so we have a lot of great things to talk about. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah. Before we jump into all that, in general, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm a little bit tired. My boyfriend broke his arm on Monday, so I've been taking care of him in addition to everything else.
Yeah, that sounds like a full-time job in and of itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Steph, how are you doing today?
Well, speaking of a full-time job, I just got a new one, so I'm a little frazzled, but...
Congratulations. Yeah. Definitely good news for you. I know you've been working hard at it, so yeah. Congratulations all around.
And how are you doing, Dom?
Hey, down here in Southwest PA, I'm living the dream. I'm sleepy, but, you know, work's going all right. Media stuff's going all right, and we have a lovely backdrop of a thunderstorm, so, you know, I just really can't complain. So, Pam, all these things considered, you said you used to blog about WoW. What kind of shifted that for you?
I stopped playing WoW.
Okay, fair enough.
Which doesn't stop everyone from talking about it, but it stopped me from trying to talk about it with any kind of authority, so.
Okay. Have you moved on to any other new modern things, or are you mostly just with the retro?
I play a ton of basically everything. I stay away from MMOs now, but I play the new consoles and on PC and retro and basically anything. The only thing I don't particularly like is fighting games, but otherwise I play it all.
Okay, what about the fighting games?
They're just, I think the reason is that I'm not good at them. And so I don't like things that I'm not good at.
Yeah, who does? Well, I just find myself liking fighting games a lot for the aesthetic and the character design. I like the flow of fighting games, but I don't think I'm good at them either. Maybe better than your average person just by virtue of playing them at all. But, okay, cool. So you do videos, and I believe you're a streamer as well, correct?
No, I don't do any streaming.
Okay, so I think I might have... I think I saw one of your videos and just assumed it was dealing with streaming. So there's my critical research failure for the day.
No worries. Most people stream, so I'm just not I don't think I'm interesting enough to sit there and just entertain live for hours on end. So I like scripted things.
Okay. I mean, that hasn't stopped anyone before, so...
That's true.
Kudos to you for playing to your strengths.
Yeah.
So, in the reviews that you do, just for the listeners, would you like to explain a little bit more about what the reviews... Like, how do you really review a retro game in the sense that most reviews we see now are consumer buyer guides? You know, is the new game, is it the new hotness as people think? Is it worth buying? But these retro games, people may have already played them or... may find them on emulators or something shadier, but they're games that have already been out for a long time, so how do you really approach that?
Well, first of all, I sort of just review what I'm personally interested, or sometimes I'll take requests from viewers, but I try to, with a lot of them, if it's a game that I grew up with, I try to, first of all, just bring some attention to it in hopes that other people will play it, but also take a look at it in the terms of, like, is this just nostalgia or is this really still a good game? So I like to look at all different aspects of it. A lot of virtual games don't have a whole lot in terms of story going on, but I look at mechanics and controls and design and things like that.
Okay, and so far, what have you really seen in the sense that, I mean, is it mostly nostalgia, or do most of these games still hold up?
I think a lot of them still hold up. Occasionally, I'll review a bad game, but I think everyone sort of knew it was already bad. There are some controversial things, like one of my gaming groups was playing Sonic the Hedgehog this month, and I don't like Sonic the Hedgehog at all, but I kind of don't want to review it because I know people would just start screaming if I said that.
Okay, so a few questions there. As the resident Sonic person, is it the franchise you mean or a specific game?
The franchise, it doesn't appeal to me that much, but I think Sonic 1 in particular suffers from a lot of problems that are fixed in the later games.
Can I express an opinion that people might find unpopular?
Of course.
I completely agree with you. I've been a Sonic fan my whole life. I liked the ups and the downs for the most part, but I really don't see the hype behind the first game. It's kind of slow and boring to me. And they always advertise, you can go so fast, that's the whole point. And then you kind of can in the first stage, and you get to that marble zone with the lava, and you're like, this isn't fun anymore. This stopped being fun like a minute and a half ago. And you kind of just go to a crawling pace, so I'm right there with you. I am a huge Sonic fan, and I'm not offended, so.
That's good. Yeah, that's my problem exactly, because the first zone, it's like, go fast, yay, you're having fun, and then you get to that marble zone, and it just, like, slows right down, and if you try to go fast, and you don't know what's coming, you're gonna die a whole lot.
For sure, and it's a shame. The music there is really nice, and sets such a good mood. It's beautiful, but they kind of missed the mark on the fun bar right there.
Yeah.
And the whole three-act layout, I think, makes things go on a little bit past their welcome, you know?
Right. I haven't gotten to the end yet.
I think I'd used cheat codes when I was little, and, you know, all the positives and negatives get amplified a lot by the time you get to the end, and you kind of just want to move on to the later entries where all those things are fixed. So.
Right.
So do you have any favorite retro games or anything, or particular favorites of your own videos that you've done?
One of my favorite videos that I did was Snatcher, which is on Sega CD. It's one of Hideo Kojima's first games that he put out. I was really happy with that, how that review turned out. It also was a longer one. I usually stick to sort of the 6 to 8 minute range because I try to be concise, but this one I just had a whole bunch to say about it. And then not with the retro, but I recently did a review of Doom, and I just had so much fun playing Doom that, like, it was just super easy to write and super easy to put together. I do a lot of, like, precise editing, so I try to always be showing what I'm talking about. And Doom just, like, made itself almost. I had so much fun with it.
Oh, excellent. Were you a fan of the original, or are you one of the people who kind of gets it now on the new one?
I only played a little bit of the original one. I was more of a Wolfenstein girl. Okay. I'm pretty sure I just played, like, the freeware Doom, the first level or whatever was available.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I can't say that I played either. I'm not currently in the position where I have any of the new consoles, and it just didn't appeal to me to get it on PC, if it's even there. I'm not sure.
Right. I think it is on PC.
I might have to give it a shot. I'm currently sinking all my time into Overwatch currently.
a lot of people are.
The character design's so cool. And it's just the remedy I needed to get out of the hell that is Splatoon that I've been playing for the last year. Yeah, Steph knows I've kind of been trapped in that. It's another bright, fun game. So, I guess in the videos in general, so you said you kind of got into that just because it was sort of the good thing to do right now?
Yeah, it just, the, like, my blog traffic, not that it's all about traffic, but I also don't, like, want to be talking to myself, I guess, when I write or make things. When I stopped talking about WoW, it really started to sort of go downhill, and it seemed like everyone was making or watching video content, so I thought I'd give it a try, and I also thought that the retro gaming community could use another girl or two in its midst.
Yeah, I feel like that's, you could probably apply that logic to the entire games public right now. So I guess that should segue us into some of the more obvious territory, and I apologize that it's as obvious, but maybe I'll try to twist it. We don't have as many women in the public game space, or even the private game space, I suppose, as would be necessary. So I assume the question always gets lobbed around, what's it like to be a woman in games? And that's a little too obvious and a little bit too restricting, I suppose. So I might want to ask, are there any things that, I guess, topics that you'd like to cover that are related to the women in games thing that kind of get glossed over for the more obvious things?
If
that makes sense to even ask.
I mean, I'm having a hard time thinking of anything that's not particularly obvious. One of the videos that I do, I'm going to make a second installment soon, is mean comments. So I just read shitty things people say on my videos.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
It's cathartic, too.
It is. I mean, if I have to read them in the first place, then I'm going to have to get a laugh out of them and enough ad money to buy me a cup of coffee. So
a cup of coffee can definitely get you through some of the nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, I just asked that as a person of color in the sort of nerdy games, whatever you want to call it, sort of the internet, and I get some of that stuff as well, but then one of the prevailing thoughts we always have is, you know, it's not just enough to ask women, people of color, the queer community, what's it like to be that demographic, because then it starts to pull you out of, well, I also do the thing. So I was just curious, you know, I don't have the perspective, me personally, I don't have the women's perspective, so I was just curious if there's anything that you feel that doesn't get asked enough.
I don't know. I think it's kind of hard to say, because there's, like, you get a lot more shit as a woman, but I think it's also, at least initially to a certain point, like, easier to get an audience for me. Just, I think, because there's, like, especially, again, in retro games, everyone looks the same. Like, 98% of the people making videos are the same color. They're all men. They're all talking about the same things. They're all sort of in the same age group. So I think I got a bit of an audience faster than a lot of sort of newer guys doing it, just because I'm something different than 98% of it. So there's good and bad things there. I mean, good that I've gotten an audience, bad that people will say that it's because I'm a girl. So right. I mean, you have to take both, I guess.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So you said you also fall out of the age range.
I'm about in the age range, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to ask, you know, when did you really get into games, in the sense that I'm always curious to know if people are reviewing retro things, you know, they played them before, or they kind of got into games later, or something like that.
I have always been into games. I had a computer really young, so I was playing, you know, educational games and things.
Oh, those are the best ones.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I wish I could find some more of them and replay those. I got an NES. That was my first console that I got. After that, it was mostly back to PC, and I missed a number of the consoles. Like, I missed the Super Nintendo entirely, other than a couple times playing it at a friend's house. And then I didn't get back into consoles until the PS1. But it's something that I've basically been doing for as long as I can remember.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. So if the conversation takes us in the direction of games more, we can stay there. But I'm also curious, you know, what other kinds of the nerdy space are you in? You said you do a podcast, and I believe that's a little bit more broader pop culture.
Yeah, that's more broad. We talk about the first half of the show is sort of just what we've been up to, whether it's games or movies, shows, books, in other podcasts we've been listening to. And then the second half, we sort of take on a specific topic. So it could be like a specific game or a specific movie. We did one episode on tabletop gaming.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool. What kind of tabletop games are you into?
I'm actually playing my first one, my first campaign right now. It's a Dragon Age RPG.
Oh, very nice. Uh-huh. I feel like we've had a few listeners or a few past guests who are Dragon Age fans.
Yes, I think so.
So that's good to see that relation. So what kind of put you on to tabletop games? Or is it more of just you were always near the space kind of thing?
That was actually Riley, my co-host on Media Maven. She said she got really interested in it and she wanted to run a game herself. So I joined in. It wasn't something that I had really thought too much about before.
Okay, and how are you liking it so far?
It's good. It's fun. We play online. There's applications where you can go and do all your roles and share maps and things so you can play with people even if they're not in your direct vicinity. So it's a lot of fun to make things up. It took a while to sort of get the creative juices going just because I'm sort of like shy about that stuff if I can't, you know, script it beforehand. So it took a little bit to sort of be able to get into it.
Okay. So far you've, I think mentioned, I guess twice so far that you're more of a fan of scripted than kind of freestyling and that sort of thing. And is it kind of a challenge for you to do more freehand improv things kind of like this then, or?
This is okay. Cause at least it's, you know, there's a direction and questions being asked.
Oh, that's great that you think we have a direction. Yeah, the goal is just kind of to meander and hope that we stumble upon a point. So the illusion has been maintained so far, so that's very nice. So you said you do your show about movies as well.
Yes.
So are those current movies or is that more of a retro bend as well?
Current movies. Our last episode was on the new X-Men movie.
Okay, let's go down that rabbit hole.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was okay. It was, I don't like this new batch of movies as much as the original trilogy, but I think that the stuff with the good mutants is good, whereas the stuff with the apocalypse and the bad mutants was a little bit ridiculous, I thought.
Ridiculous in the sense that it was far-fetched or ridiculous, like, badly written?
Sort of. Well, I just, Apocalypse as a villain, like, he's just so incredibly powerful that it becomes kind of silly, like, what he could do, the idea of people fighting against him is a little bit hard to believe. And then just in terms of, I guess, the screenplay, his little posse with Storm and Angel and Psylocke, they were kind of wasted. A lot of the time they were just sort of standing around posing with serious looks on their faces, and it kind of made me giggle.
Oh, geez. Yeah, when you have Storm, like, in your posse, you think that that would be enough, even if you're, you know, not Apocalypse. You have Storm, who could pretty much bring an apocalypse on her own, so it seems kind of ridiculous for her to just be chilling.
Yeah.
I had, my, like, big problem with the movie is I haven't seen it yet, but, like, I've been just thrown so aback at the ad campaigns. They've licensed with, like, Doritos and, like, a bunch of other, like, snack foods, and they have the actual actors from the movies in the commercials. Maybe it's an American thing, I don't know, but they have the actors from the movie in the commercials, but it's, like, Storm, like, bringing a thunderstorm because she's mad that someone else opened the bag of Doritos first.
Oh, I did see those.
They're so corny.
It's actually the, yeah, you watch them and you're wondering why they pay for this.
Yeah, like, and it's like goes against the idea of the characters being very serious, like, intimidating people.
It sounds like they're kind of splitting the difference between the campiness of the 90s, but also, like, the seriousness of now. And they're just a little too serious in the movies to imagine them getting a little bit upset because someone ate Doritos.
Exactly.
And also, I don't like seeing Doritos outside of games advertising, so I don't like this cross-pollination of advertising campaigns. Like, stick to the Lay's and the Pepsi, but Mountain Dew and Doritos, that's all for the gamers. So, any movies you're looking forward to coming up?
I'm having trouble thinking of anything. I don't pay that much attention. I don't have cable or anything, so I don't see any ads for movies.
It's very smart of you to not have cable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm having trouble thinking of anything. I'm sure there's something, just right. Not in my brain right now.
I'm going to press the hot button, you know, try to get some hot takes. Speaking of Doritos, we're going to do hot takes.
All right.
Do you have any opinion on the Ghostbusters fiasco, as it were? Any just hot takes on the new Ghostbusters movie?
Oh, geez. That's such a mess, isn't it?
it really is.
It's, I think, just everyone is overreacting. There's the "you're taking our Ghostbusters away" crowd who thinks that, you know, it's being appropriated by people who like women, and
damn SJWs.
Yeah, I don't like to use that word, so.
Oh, I'll use it sarcastically.
Yeah.
So there's that crew, or the crew who thinks that a new movie in a series can ruin the old series. But then I also think that a lot of people have, like, latched on to this because it has women in it and have gotten, like, super defensive about it. So I think there's just, like, emotions running really high on both sides. Personally, like, the first trailer that they put out, I didn't think it was very good. But on the other hand, I can't honestly think of a comedy trailer I've seen in the last many years that looked good. So that's not a huge thing for me. But I think, I don't know, it's a movie. I'll probably see it just because of all the stuff that's gone around it, but
for sure.
I think there's a lot of just taking it too seriously on both sides.
Yeah, it kind of feels to me, I've been looking at it, and, you know, I think we are at this weird spot where, you know, comedy trailers are, they're very rarely good. I mean, I've seen comedy movies that I loved, but the trailers were not the reason I went to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this weird crossroads of, this is some of the best time for genre fiction. You know, Star Wars, Marvel, they've been knocking it out of the park. Mm-hmm. And Transformers is doing exactly what it's trying to do, for better or for worse. And then you have Ghostbusters, which is very clearly a comedy, but also kind of this genre film in the nerdy space. And, you know, I think those are kind of at odds. So, you know, when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, okay. This just looks like another Ghostbusters movie to me. I didn't really see much of the originals. I have no attachment to it. Mm-hmm. This looks like a solid 5 out of 10 comedy movie. Down the road, middle of the road, average. This doesn't seem good enough or bad enough to make a stand over. And then I saw the internet reaction, and I thought, what is... I don't see why people care quite this much.
Yeah.
And I think it's getting lost that a lot of people are being forced to pick a side. And... Mm-hmm. I think most people deep down are either they want to see it because it looks good to them, or they don't think it looks good to them. And I think people are trying to champion a side because they know which, whether they're supposed to fall on the side of don't add diversity, or they're on the side of add diversity to everything. People are getting shuffled to these sides, and I don't know if anyone 100% falls into either of those groups.
Right.
That's my hot take.
I've got a hot take.
Go for it.
I think the divide, you could probably look at the divide between the people who are super defensive of the new Ghostbusters versus the people who think it's the worst thing since, like I don't know, Eve ate the apple, as as kind of similar to the divide between people who are super hardcore Hillary Clinton fans and suit people who are Trump fans, to take a political bent on it.
Oh yeah, that is the hot take. Hot take of the day. Yeah, I kind of see that.
I feel like there are people who are kind of in the middle who are like, okay, well, I do support diversity increasing diversity in representation in Hollywood and everywhere else, but I don't know that this movie is going to be good or necessarily... But if it's bad, it's not going to be because it has women in it, it's going to be because of bad writing. But there,
for sure,
there are still people who are like, defend the Ghostbusters to the death because it's going to be amazing. And the people who are like, you're killing my childhood, why did you stab infant me in the heart with this, your knife of diversity? Like,
for sure. The funny thing I've seen about this, to relate it to a different company, it always comes back to DC. I saw something get retweeted. I don't know if it was from some message board or Twitter, but I think they announced that they were looking to get a female director for the Wonder Woman movie. And someone was like, well, that movie's going to suck because it's a DC movie. And we can safely say it won't be any director, actress, actor's fault. It's a DC movie. I have no expectations after Batman versus Superman. And I just had to laugh. I was like, DC has done such a poor job with their movies that they've got angry nerds on the internet actually saying, guys, I don't think we can blame the women for this one. And I think that's a monumental task that you were able to change hearts that way. But yes, that's our
some hot takes.
Political satire hot takes segment of the day. Maybe we'll start that anew. Pam, I appreciate you inspiring us to do that.
Oh, no problem. Glad I could help.
Yeah. So how are you feeling so far? Good?
Yeah, feeling good.
Good. So we have a segment. I'm not sure if you've heard the show before. We're still fairly new. We're going to do some kind of rapid-fire run-of-the-mill questions, if you'd be up for that.
Sounds good.
Okay, and per my tradition, I like to start it off and then turf it over to Stephanie immediately. Do you have a question you'd like to pull up?
Yes. I would like to ask, what is, of all time, your favorite book, movie, game, any media, what thing is your favorite?
Oh, geez.
Start up with just the difficult favorite ones.
Just favorite movie is hard enough. Just my favorite piece of media.
Or you can pick something out of one of those categories.
Okay. I'll go with my favorite game, which is Planescape Torment, which is a computer role-playing game by Black Isle, who did Baldur's Gate and some other CRPGs like that. You play a character called the Nameless One, who has lost all of his memories and has also lost his mortality, and you have to go and find your mortality and find your missing memories, and you have a slew of really interesting companions, including a floating skull who hurls insults at people in combat to to distract them, and a reformed succubus, lots of cool characters like that, and it's very, very text and dialogue heavy, and it's just the best writing I've seen in a video game ever. It just has this amazing world building and character building, and you can pick up little items in game that would generally just be a throwaway, and they have this little one paragraph description that just sets your imagination flying because it says such an interesting description that brings into mind all sorts of other things that aren't even involved in the game. But it's just really, really descriptive and really, really interesting.
Oh, very solid. Do you tend to lean more towards story-based games or action-based games, if you had a preference?
I'd say story-based games more so. Although I play a lot of everything.
Good, good. Cool, very nice, very nice. Okay, so I got this next question for you, one of my favorites. What is a crossover you would like to see from any kind of media, past, present, or historical figures or people? What kind of crossover would you like to see?
Thinking some kind of BioWare crossover. With Commander Shepard in Thedas in Dragon Age.
Ooh, okay. The interdisciplinary BioWare. I haven't heard that one before.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. So what is it about that crossover that you would like to see specifically?
I think that Shepard is just my favorite BioWare character or protagonist, I guess. She's just such an awesome kick-ass soldier, and as opposed to a lot of other RPGs where your character is kind of a bit of a blank slate, even though you can choose which way you want to play her, she just has like such character no matter what way it goes. And then I think the Dragon Age sort of has the really good lore and also really good relationship building, more so than Mass Effect. So if we could just bring those two together, that would be awesome.
Oh, that makes perfect sense to me. Okay, cool. Very nice. Steph, you got another one for us?
I do. If you could have any superpower for a week, what superpower would you have?
I'd like to be able to fly, because that would be fun. Although, also, like, some sort of, like, premonition superpower that would get me a lot of money in a short amount of time that I could keep after the week would be good, too.
Okay, so we're thinking something a little bit more more direct than That's a Raven.
Yeah.
Very good. I always appreciate when people think of the long term. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I only have the superpower for a week, but what can I do to help me out in 8 days?
Exactly.
Is there a superpower that people tend to like that you would just completely reject?
I talked about this in the last Media Mavens about what X-Men superpower we'd want, and I was thinking Charles Xavier, but then Riley brought up that the ability to hear what people are thinking sounds terrible. Like, that would be a really bad one.
Yeah.
What if you could kind of focus it? Would that make it more tolerable?
Yeah, if you could focus it, it would be more tolerable, but I'm thinking, like, have you seen True Blood? Sookie, how she just has like thoughts swirling around her all the time. That would be bad. Like, you don't really want to know what people actually think about you 100% of the time.
Yeah, I don't want to know what people think about me about 80% of the time.
Yeah.
That other 20%, I'm really, really curious, but that other 80, just I don't need to know it.
Exactly.
So that kind of leads us into one of our other rapid fire questions. What would your crappy X-Men mutation be? So, something that would make you a mutant, something that people would say you have a mutation, but it wouldn't get you on the X-Men. You probably wouldn't even show up, like, on their registry or anything like that.
Like, I have a coworker who always runs into the same desk at work. Every time. He's worked there for 5 years, and he still, every time, he kicks the same thing as he goes past. So that would be, like, his crappy X-Men mutation.
I have a very refined ability to break all my phone charging cords.
That's a super power.
Yeah, that probability manipulation is, is a fan favorite. Very great. Steph, do you have another one?
When you are feeling down, what do you do to cheer up? Do you have, like, a go-to thing you do that makes you feel better?
I usually just get in bed and snuggle with my dog. Maybe watch something on TV or put on a video game, but the dog's usually there for snuggles.
Pets are good that way.
Mm-hmm. What kind of dog do you have, if you don't mind me asking?
She's a mutt. Her mom is a beagle bull terrier, and her dad, I think they told us that her dad was a husky, but like, she really looks like a lab, so I think he was a lab.
Well, keeps it nice, keeps them gets a nice little interesting look for your dog.
Yeah.
So we have a Rottweiler where we're at, mixed with some other stuff I suppose, but mostly Rottweiler, and not great cuddling dogs because they're really big, but they think that they're small. They're not lap dogs, but out of the two Rottweilers we've owned, they both try to get on your lap in such a way that overwhelms you.
Yeah, Lily does that too. She's 60 pounds, so, you know, she's not small, and I'll be sitting at my computer chair, and she will struggle her way up into my lap on my computer chair.
They seem to know when you're feeling down and need some, puppy cuddles, so that's always nice when they're around for that.
For sure.
And you said sometimes you'll watch shows. Do you have any Any go-tos?
I watch The West Wing a lot.
Okay.
That's one I've watched through a number of times. What else? A lot of the time I'll just put on some, like, sitcom or something that makes me mad half the time. Like How I Met Your Mother or something. Stupid.
How's it make you mad?
Oh, it's just super sexist so much.
Yes, that's definitely true.
Yeah, I didn't even notice. I was rewatching Friends, and it struck me, it never struck me before, how often they use the word slut or whore. It's a really? Lot. Yes.
So I never really watched Friends before, and that really surprises me.
Yeah.
That's a shame. That used to be must-see TV. That would not work.
Yeah.
Does Seinfeld do that?
I've never really watched much Seinfeld.
I've only seen a few episodes, but they didn't seem to be quite that way, but I wouldn't know. Well, my go-to show is Law & Order, which is, nice. Yeah, it's a good go-to, but it's not, like, a pleasant show. Like, it doesn't leave you very chipper.
That's true.
On the subject matter, but, you know, it's the interpersonal stuff, when they're not busting crooks, you know, the first 2 minutes before things go wrong or the last 5 minutes after they solved a tough case are always, I don't know, like, inappropriately hilarious. Not inappropriate as I'm saying something rude, but just tonally inappropriate.
Right.
Like, if you've ever seen some of the comedy that talks about how Ice-T reacts to things,
yeah.
It's completely jarring, and it's like, dude, you work in a really terrible unit. I don't know why this is surprising to you after 8 seasons, but that totally just brought me back to the fact that, yes, I'm watching television, none of this is real, and somebody actually wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's probably Dick Wolf or Speedweed, whatever those are real guys, real names, see them all the time.
Yeah, my go-to trash TV is the Food Network. I will watch Chopped for hours, and then I'll put on something that I hate. Like, there are a couple Food Network chefs that I can't stand, but I'd rather listen to them talk than have it like a silent room, or I don't know, it just gets me out of my head to like be angry at Ree Drummond for being so.
I haven't seen her show. I used to read her blog.
I feel like, I mean, it's a cooking show. She's always like got some kind of like made up reason that she's making what she's making. I'm going over to my mother-in-law's house to bring her some food, so I decided to make this great treat that she can keep in the freezer. But it's just like, you know that you made that up. Don't pretend.
Suspension of disbelief only goes but so far.
Yeah.
What's the one? Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, cooking reality shows are a big one for me too. I'm watching MasterChef Australia, which is good. It's like the American MasterChef, except that everyone's super nice and supportive of each other, and none of the judges are dicks. Like, it's super high pressure and super stressful, but they don't, you know, put, you know, Gordon Ramsay yelling at you and throwing your food in the garbage as an added stressor, or give you like limited amount of time to go to the pantry and get your ingredients. It's just like really very much about the cooking and teaching people how to cook better. So I really like that one.
Oh, that sounds more productive.
Yeah.
Speaking of time limits on the pantry, that reminds me of Cutthroat Kitchen, which is a hilarious show to watch because you feel like you could always do better whenever they mess up, but whenever they're making good food, you're like, there's no way I could keep up.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I've learned is that truffle oil,
never do,
100% of the time, will destroy your dish.
Just like using the ice cream machine on Chopped, like, don't do it. Just don't. If you think you're going to make ice cream for your last round, just don't do it.
We know so much about cooking shows, but I know so little about actually cooking. So, you said you're enjoying the Australian version. Do you find do you tend to watch less Americanized shows or just whatever's on? Do you have any preferences on that kind of thing?
I do. I watch some like BBC stuff. It depends what's on. I mean, as I said, I don't have cable, so mostly I watch whatever's on Netflix or Show Me, which I think is only in Canada. And then someone just recommended MasterChef Australian to me, so I download that.
Okay. And I guess to just jump back all over the place, you know, being from Canada, do you see any differences in, like, how people will view your show? Like, do you tend to attract more American audiences, more Canadian audiences on your YouTube channel? Or are you still kind of vaguely still in the American area?
It's majority American. There's some Canadian audience there, but I mean, I guess partially because we're just a lot smaller in population. But yeah, it's usually, in terms of views, it's the States by an overwhelming majority, and then somewhere in Europe next.
Okay. Look, I have just seen different people's, you know, viewerships or audience bases, and sometimes you get really wild combinations of different places in Europe or Australia or South America will just kind of show up on the map unexpectedly, so I didn't know if you saw any difference with that.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's sort of, there's people everywhere, but mostly in the States. The one stat that bothers me, though, and I don't know how accurate it is in the YouTube stats, but like 95% of my audience is male, and I want to, like, I want women to watch me.
Well, we will do our best to kind of try to drive whatever women listen to us to go watch your stuff. I'm not sure how much that'll help, but
I'm not sure how big our listening base is, but we'll try.
Hey, I think 5 people listened, so.
Nice. Well, I listened. I've listened to all of them.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so flattered. Anything that we're doing well that you think we should keep doing?
You're really quick with the questions. You don't let the conversation go stagnant. You seem to have something ready to ask next all the time. That's really good.
Oh,
well, I need to work on that myself.
I wish I could say it was professionalism, but I'm more of just kind of a motor mouth, and I don't know when to stop talking, so it's more of silence really stresses me out, so yeah. Just kind of took my own personal character flaw and tried to spin it into a business. And I guess with that, do you have any other questions you want to throw up, Steph?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, because we have a great guest who's a gamer, has lots of videos up, and does multimedia kind of a show. So I didn't know if there were any other questions we could throw up. I have one, actually. I don't know if we've asked it enough yet. What's your favorite iteration of Batman's Joker, if you have one?
Oh. I really liked Heath Ledger as a Joker.
He was a good one.
Mm-hmm. I also like Mark Hamill in the video games, Arkham something. I have such a hard time keeping those straight.
The Arkham franchise.
Yeah.
You know, the Arkham franchise really makes me sad in the sense that I could tell the creators of that game really do not like Harley Quinn and go out of their way to not make her look that great in those games. The general consensus I've heard from people is that they don't think the creators really want to have her there or try to find reasons to not have her there.
I'm not that familiar with the comics or anything, so.
I'm not either, but we have a friend who talks about her a lot and doesn't seem to be a huge fan of her. And just from what I've seen,
Well, she's a huge fan of Harley Quinn, but she isn't a huge fan of the, like, more sexualized costume.
Right.
Yeah. And my version of her that I always saw was from, like, the old cartoons, just, like, the full Harlequin doll. So I'm like, why is she wearing, like, this nurse thingy? I kind of like the weird pointy bodysuit thingy. I always thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be nice. Although all the female characters in the Arkham series are super sexualized.
And yeah, they kind of... mostly naked. Yeah, they kind of really did... They did that in a weird way that was even, I think a lot of people were, you know, even for a video game comic book crossover, this still is such a weird kind of thing, you know? And I think when people start questioning your over-sexualization in video games while other games are also doing the same thing, I think maybe you need to step back and realize, are we really, I think we might need to check this out a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not opposed to looking at women in sexy outfits, but I think it gets to a point where it's not that even that sexy anymore.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, I don't think anyone on this show is going to be opposed to the idea of lovely looking ladies, but, you know, from an aesthetic standpoint, it's kind of like a, okay, I get it. Mm. I get it. Yep, I get it. And, you know, that was something that it even happened a lot in Overwatch, which makes me sad. It just seems kind of arbitrary to a sense. Mm-hmm. Widowmaker is like this cool sniper, and they're like, hey, but make sure you know she has a really cool butt. And, you know, they don't really do that for the male characters. I mean, I guess Genji kind of, but he's like a robot, so they didn't really give them the same treatment. I think the fan base is giving them similarly fair treatments. If you ever stumble onto Tumblr or Reddit, the fan art will indicate that, yes, people are attracted to the whole entire cast, even the ones that are completely robots, but
yeah,
so the fans are equal opportunity, even if the developers are still trying to catch up a little bit, though. So hope on the horizon.
Yep, I've got lots of Blizzard feelings, so I don't play Overwatch, though.
Are you not a fan of shooters, just not a fan of this one, or just hasn't come up?
I'm not a fan of multiplayer that much, and especially cooperative multiplayer.
That's fair.
And part of it is just that I feel like I've given Blizzard enough of my money over the past many years. So, I don't know. Sometimes I feel left out because, like, everyone is playing Overwatch and they seem to be having a lot of fun, but I just, I don't know. The way they do betas bothers me. The fact that so many thousands of people have already been playing this game for months and months, and the idea of coming in as a newbie and sucking for a while doesn't really appeal to me. So,
well, that's fair. You know, just from playing a little bit, when I was in the new levels, like the level 1, you could definitely see a lot of other people didn't know what they were doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing that I've kind of gotten really destroyed on, I'm still having a hard time with, is that now I'm starting to get really good at the game itself, like the thoughts of it, the planning, but this is the first game I've really played like keyboard and mouse, so you can see these people doing like mouse things, like just aiming and shooting at you, that are maybe so-so with the game, but I'm like, I have no experience with this controller setup. But I think they kind of did like good balancing with like level matching and all that, so it's, I'm not hating it. I'm mostly here for the memes, if we're being honest. And if you just play it on someone else's computer for about an hour, I think you'll get most of the experience that you need from it.
Yeah, I tried it out on my boyfriend's computer. I also have the problem with a keyboard, which is strange because I've played mouse and keyboard a ton. But I have this thing, and I do it in Heroes of the Storm too, where I'll just like, my fingers will slip over and they'll just be on the wrong keys and I won't realize it for far too long.
Oh yeah, that's definitely something I've run into, is that I'll know my hands are on the wrong keys because I'm not moving. But I'm trying to look at the screen, so I'm like, I don't know how to move my hand to fix this problem.
Yeah.
I'm in a corner, okay, now I'm dead, now I have time to look. But it's, you know, it's been a lot of fun. We have I kind of just took a guess in trying it. You know, I bought Pokken Tournament for the Wii U on a whim, and that was not the best game for me, so mm-hmm. I figured, well, if I'm going to just throw money around, I might as well buy a game that people said they like, and this one has done better for me, so. Well, great. Well, anything else you'd like to talk about, Pam, or are you feeling pretty good?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think we've covered a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes these conversations really go by quickly. Hope I didn't talk too much. Don't mean to talk over people.
No, not at all.
So, did you have a decent time chit-chatting with us?
I did. I had a great time. Thank you for inviting me on.
Sure thing. Yeah, thanks for coming by. We'll have to bring you in sometime in the future once we're mega superstars in, like, 7 years or whatever. But Do you have any social media business you'd like to reiterate to the listeners?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Jasyla_. That's JASYLA_. My YouTube is called Cannot Be Tamed. And my podcast is at mediamavens.simplecast.fm.
Excellent. Yep. And you should all go check out her videos. You know, they're really nice gallery. Lots of videos, lots to dig into, lots of variety. I'm going to check out this Mega Man 2 retro review probably as soon as we're done talking here. One of my favorite games that I am bad at. So. Great. So, Steph, you want to kick the social media biz on our end?
Heck yeah. You can find our podcast, which you may have already found it if you're listening to this, at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. We are also on Stitcher. Hooray.
Hooray, finally.
We are still working on iTunes, but we are on Stitcher, and you can find us just by searching Character Reveal. We are also on Twitter at CharacterRev. It's with two R's in the middle, Character Rev. You can find me on Tumblr at The Snow Queer, and on Twitter at Captain Steph. You can find Dom pretty much anywhere he wants to be found on the internet.
That's true. Anywhere on the internet as Brother Dom, BROTHADOM. If you spell it brother with the hard ER, I have no idea who you'll find, but it will not be me. And you can find both Stephanie and myself writing at the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. You know, it's an intersectional feminist blog about that kind of stuff on a nerdy tilt. So if you want to hear about, let's say, Overwatch or the new stuff with Harry Potter and all the casting on that or whatever, you can find it there. But we'll also be talking about it with a feminist or racial bend or that sort of thing. And that's at Lady Geek Girl. .wordpress.com. Am I right with that?
I believe so. Let's find out. Yeah, ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. That's the website I've been writing for 5 years.
Yeah, that's a site that I apparently I help you guys too. So should know the title by now. But all right, well, that's been another episode of Character Reveal. You know, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your pets if they're into that kind of thing. You probably have some cool pets. And until next time, we will see you later. Thanks again, Pam.
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Bye.